Turn, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Title of the lesson this morning is the Accents of Love. Accents are very important. That's where we put the emphasis on certain words, and it affects the way that we talk, the way that we speak, the way that we're understood. I know some of you think I speak with an accent. I don't. It's you people that speak with it. I didn't check with Tom about this this morning, but my guess is that he has gone through life being called Tom Pulse. I imagine that if it hasn't been a continual kind of thing happening to him, that it is something that has periodically happened to him in his life. But if you've ever seen Tom's name spelled out, the E at the end of his name has a little accent on it. And that that tells us that his name is Pulse and not Pulse. Where we put the emphasis is important, and not only in the way that we speak, but very much so in the way that we live. The things that we choose to emphasize, the things that we choose to accent in our lives, has a great effect upon the way that we live those lives. And it is no more true than in the things that we accent or emphasize that we love. Love is clearly a matter that is of extreme importance to those who would live the life of a Christian. The scriptures, Jesus himself and the apostles and the writers of inspired scripture over and over again teach us lessons about love and about how important it is for us to develop that characteristic in our lives. If there was ever a man who was challenged in this regard, I suspect it would have been the Apostle Paul and his dealings with the church in Corinth. Those of you that are familiar with the scriptures and the teaching of the scriptures about Paul will remember, no doubt, that it is in Acts the 18th chapter that Luke records Paul's going to the city of Corinth and preaching there, and how the Lord told him that I have many people in this city. And so Paul spent a significant amount of time there in Corinth preaching the gospel. And as a result, many people were converted and many people became Christians. A church, therefore, was established in Corinth. But it was not a church without its challenges. It is, of course, the church to whom Paul wrote two letters that we have in our Bibles, 1 and 2 Corinthians. And in those letters, we find evidence for the fact that there were many, many challenges in that Corinthian church. And it is almost unimaginable. But one of the things that the church in Corinth had to deal with was whether or not they were going to really accept Paul as an authentic apostle, as someone who was genuine in what he was teaching and in what he was preaching. After they obeyed the gospel, apparently there were people who came there to Corinth who challenged Paul in his authority as an apostle, in his authenticity as a Christian, as a person who genuinely cared for the Corinthians. And in your readings, particularly of 2 Corinthians, I think you can find numerous instances where Paul makes references to charges that were brought against him and accusations that were made of such things as that he lied, that he couldn't be relied upon to tell the truth. That there were people there who were We're claiming to be individuals that ought to be recognized as authoritative, and the Corinthian church ought to be listening to them rather than listening to Paul, because Paul was a self-serving man. There's another accusation that was made against him. And he would abuse the Corinthians, and he would use them to his own benefits. And he ought not to be trusted. As I say, it's almost unimaginable that the Corinthians could be persuaded to entertain such thoughts. But apparently they did. Apparently they took these things very, very seriously. And so Paul, of course, in his writings to them, addresses these issues. And in doing so, he outlines, in both letters actually, in the most classic of ways, he outlines the kind of love that he had for them, the genuine concern that he had for them, and he describes love, and some would even say he defines love. Probably the most famous of those passages is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and no doubt many of you will be familiar with the things that Paul had to say about love and about the absolute essentialness of having love. And it didn't matter what you recall, he makes the point, it doesn't matter what you do. If you don't have love, then what you do really is of no significance, if it's not motivated out of love. Probably we don't think of his letter in 2 Corinthians as one in which love has such a prominent place as it does there in 1 Corinthians 13. But we're mistaken if that's what we think. Because in 2 Corinthians, Paul again addresses love. And he addresses it particularly in this circumstance where his motives and his thoughts about the Corinthians have been put to question and are being doubted. And so he talks to them about the nature of his love for them. And in doing so, he sets out for us, once again, a very clear picture of what love is and of how we are to possess it. Do you want to know how to love in the way that the Lord expects every Christian to express that attitude? Do you want to know what you should do, how you should do it? Well, Paul, I think, answers a lot of those questions for us. And I'd like for us to look for a few minutes this morning at a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11 through 13, and then also in chapter 7 verses 2 through 4. Those two passages are separated by something of a parenthetical discussion that Paul undertakes. But I think you'll see as you look at these two passages together that they are speaking of the same thing. And they're really a continuation. The seventh chapter is really a continuation of what Paul introduces here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's just begin by reading in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, where he says, "Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is opened wide. You're not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. Now, in a like exchange, I speak as to children, open wide to us." Now drop down to chapter 7 and verse 2 and see if you don't see this continuing theme when he says, "Make room for us in your hearts. We wronged no one. We corrupted no one. We took advantage of no one. I do not speak to condemn you, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. Great is my confidence in you. Great is my boasting on your behalf, I am filled with comfort. I am overflowing with joy in all our afflictions. Now, as I say, I want to suggest to you that this is another instance where Paul the Apostle talks about love and what love is. And the first thing that I would suggest to you that he outlines for us here is that love is generous. If you want to really love in the fashion that that the New Testament speaks of, then it's going to require a sense of generosity on your part. And Paul indicates this when he says, our heart is opened wide. The Greek word that he uses there is a word that means enlarged. Paul says, I have an enlarged heart. Now, if we were talking about physical health, that would be a bad thing. It would be a serious malady that we would be facing if our heart was enlarged. But we're not talking about physical health here. We're talking about spiritual health. And spiritually speaking, an enlarged heart is a mark of love. It is an indication that one has a proper concern for others. He's talking about having room in his heart for the Corinthians. The psalmist makes much the same kind of statement in Psalms 119 and verse 32 when he says in this declaration about what he is confident God will do for him, he says, you will enlarge my heart. You'll make my heart big. You'll make my heart roomy. Roomy enough to include all that should be included there. May I ask you this? How big is your heart? Now, if you're going to love in the fashion that the Scriptures speak to us about, then it's going to require that your heart be big enough to be inclusive of those things that that it ought to include. And it ought to include brethren. Now, the Scriptures are certainly not short of admonitions to love the brethren. You can turn over to 1 John chapter 4, and the whole chapter of 1 John chapter 4 is about love. And it talks about how inconsistent, how inaccurate it is to claim to love God whom you have not seen when you don't love your brethren who you do see. Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 7, I have you in my heart. He loved the Philippian Christians. He loved the Corinthian Christians. He loved all who were his brethren in Christ. Going back to 2 Corinthians in chapter 7 and verse 3, he says there, once again, you are in our heart. It's really a beautiful expression, this idea of having an enlarged heart that includes all that it ought to include. And it's a statement that is made even more remarkable by the shabby kind of treatment that Paul had received from the Corinthians. There seemed to be no room in their heart for him. They had all but shut him out. You look in chapter 6 and verse 12, and we see the contrast that he draws. He says, you are not restrained by us. Now, when you restrain something, it you make it narrow. You make it smaller. You make it limited. He says, you're not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. When it came to love and to loving who they should love, Paul tells the Corinthians that they were restrained. They were more narrow. They were more restrictive than they should be. It was heartbreaking, I suspect, to the Apostle Paul that they had room in their hearts for his critics, for those people who had come to Corinth and who had said dishonest things about Paul. It was heartbreaking for Paul to see them make room in their hearts for those people. and to entertain what they had to say about Paul. And in fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, passage I mentioned earlier, we see where he begins to reply to some of these things. He says, for instance, that are they Hebrews? We're referring to the people who had come and who were misleading the Corinthians. Are they Hebrews? So am I. This is verse 22. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors and far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger and death. And he goes on with a long list of things that he endured. Now remember, Paul says, I'm speaking as if insane here. He has, to some measure, he has lowered himself to the level that these critics had taken up. And they were talking about who they were and all they had done and why the Corinthians ought to listen to them. We're Hebrews, we're Israelites, we're descendants of Abraham. We have a long history of religious service to God. You ought to listen to us. If I could make it a comparison, it would be kind of like me coming here and saying to you, you folks really ought to listen to me. I come from the South. That's the Bible Belt. And there's a long history of people honoring the Bible and respecting the Bible. And that's where I come from. Now, you Yankees, you just need to be listening to me, because you don't have that background, that pedigree that I do. And, I mean, my father was a preacher. My uncle's a preacher. My cousin's a preacher. My brother's a preacher. You ought to listen to me because of who I am. That's maybe in a very poor way. What was going on there? These folks were coming and telling the Corinthians, you ought to listen to us because of who we are, because of what our pedigree is. And they were willing to do it. And in spite of that, Paul says, our heart is enlarged. It's opened wide. It includes you. In spite of the fact that you don't include us in your affections. You see, love, the kind of love that Paul was describing here, is generous. Do you have that kind of love? Is your heart large enough to include even people maybe who have wronged you, who have mistreated you, who have misrepresented you, but because they are your brethren, your heart is large enough to include them? Now please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that if some of those things that happened to you because of the actions of brethren, I'm not saying to you, oh, you can't address those things. You can't try to straighten them up. You can't try to point out to those people where they have erred. That's exactly what Paul is doing in this letter. He's pointing out to them the mistakes that they have made. But what happens to us far too many times is when someone steps out of line, well, we're just ready to cut them off. We restrict, like the Corinthians, our affections, our willingness to love those. But I want to tell you, there's another thing that Paul says about love that we ought to take note of, and that is that love is responsive. Turn again to chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, and in verse 13 he says, now in a like exchange, I speak as to children, open wide to us also. Now he appeals to them to do what? These people whose affections were restrictive, He appeals to them to do exactly what he had done toward them, and that is to open wide their hearts, to include him in their affections. He wanted a partnership with them. He talks about it as being an exact exchange. He wanted the same from them that he had given to them, enlarged hearts. Love, you see, is reciprocal. Our love to God is nothing but a return of his love to us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9 and verse 11. And then also in verse 19, all affirm the simple fact that we love God because he first loved us. We enlarge our hearts to include God because God first enlarged his heart to include us. Even as Paul would put it in the Roman letter, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't love us because we were particularly lovable. He didn't love us because we deserved it. He didn't love us because we had demonstrated a great love for God, and therefore he reciprocated. No. When we were undeserving, when we were most unlovable, he loved us. And because of that, we can love him. Love is not only generous. Love is responsive. Now, may I ask you this? In dealings with others, in dealings with brethren, do you demonstrate? Do you reciprocate? Do you give back a love that they have demonstrated? Do you? Even when they wrong you, even when they mistreat you, do you still, like Paul, enlarge your heart and include them in that circle of people that you love? I'll tell you another thing that Paul says about love. That is, it's not only generous, it's not only responsive, but it's also harmless. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't produce that which is harmful to others. He says this there in chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, when he affirms this fact that we wronged no one, we corrupted no one, we took advantage of no one. I mean, remember now the circumstances in which Paul is writing this. He's got his critics there in Corinth. He has the Corinthians as a willing audience to the things that the critics are saying. And he just calls their attention to these facts. He goes on and he says, a little later on in that seventh chapter, he says, no one that we sent to you. And he mentions Titus. And he mentions another brother that he, not by name. But he says, they didn't do anything wrong to you. They wronged no one. They corrupted no one. They harmed no one. You see, love is harmless. Turn back to that famous passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And listen, in light of this, listen to the harmlessness of this love that Paul describes. Love is patient. Verse 4, love is kind. Is not jealous, does not brag, and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now you find one thing in that list that Paul has given there that is harmful. Find one thing that is hurtful You can't do it. It's just not there, because that's not the characteristic of love. The final thing I would mention to you that Paul has to say about love: it's generous, it's responsive, it's harmless, and it is loyal. It's hard to imagine it. But listen to what Paul says in chapter 7 and verse 4. Great is my confidence in you. Y'all must have to go back and read the verse again. Why would he say this about these people after the treatment that he had received from them? Nonetheless, I've got a lot of confidence in you. I know you're going to come through when all is said and done. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I'm filled with comfort. I'm overflowing with joy in all our affliction. I remember one time, I had been taking some college classes and working towards a degree for a lengthy period of time. Robin will be able to tell you exactly how long it went on. But there was a period of time in there where I wasn't pursuing it. I just wasn't doing anything towards completing that degree. And I remember being on vacation with my family. And my mother and dad and brother and his family and sister and her family, and we all went down to Gulf Shores, Alabama. And of course, as normally happens on vacations like that, some of us picked up a flu bug somewhere, and I was one of them that picked it up, and we had to go to a doctor. So we found a doctor's office to go to. My dad took me to the doctor, and I remember sitting in that doctor's office, and we were talking, and he was asking about that degree and what I was supposedly working towards. And not that I wasn't already feeling miserable enough, but as we talked about it, then it was obviously I wasn't doing anything actively towards completing it. And my dad began to say, well, he was disappointed in that. Disappointed that I wasn't working towards finishing it and completing it. And he talked about, he had talked to some of his friends about this, about me and my working towards this degree. And he'd been boasting about it, if you want to put it in the terms that Paul uses here. And as I said, I was already feeling miserable enough, but then I began to really feel bad. And you know what I did after that vacation? I went home and I finished the degree. And mostly because my dad had expressed some pride in what I was doing, as well as some disappointment in the fact that I wasn't actively doing it anymore. I think that's a little bit of what Paul's got going on here. He says, I boast about you. I tell others. Remember, Paul travels all over the world. I tell others about you and about the Corinthians and about how they turned to the God of heaven and served him. And I boast about you. And I've got every confidence in the world that you'll come through, and you'll do what you ought to do, and you'll be what you ought to be, and you'll quit meddling around with these folks that are coming in here and misguiding you and leading you astray. and you'll get things straightened out. And you'll do what you ought to do. I mean, don't you do that with your kids? Haven't you done that with your children at some times in the past? Tell them how proud you are about what they're doing, how you brag about them to others. And maybe when they aren't doing all the things that they ought to do, haven't you expressed to them, I've got confidence in you. I know you'll come through. And that's what Paul does. Why? Why does he do that? Because he's loyal. He's loyal to them. It's a loyalty that goes back to that day when he went into the city of Corinth and began to preach, and people began to obey the gospel, and God told him, there are yet many people here in this city. And there it was established between Paul and those people a relationship that was the reason for his loyalty to them. Love, in short, thinks the best. It thinks the best of others. In spite of past wrongs, Paul believed they would do better. And that's what love should do in us as well. If somebody's done you wrong, if they're your brother or your sister in Christ, there ought to remain a loyalty that you have towards them, a confidence that you have, a hoping that you have, that they'll do better. Given the opportunity, they'll make things right, and they'll get on the right track. Love, Paul says, is generous, it's responsive, it's harmless, and it's loyal. Well, let me ask you this. Have you responded to that love that God so generously gave to you, giving you a way of salvation, though you're a sinner, though you're separated from Him by your sins, yet His love for you dictated that He provide a way that you could come back to Him, that you can be reconciled to Him, that you can show your love. Have you shown your love for God by giving yourself to Him, by obeying Him? If you haven't, then today, why don't you do so? Because Jesus Christ came into this world and taught men and women and showed us the way to God, by faith in Him, we can be reconciled to our God. Turning away from our sins and confessing our faith in the Lord and being baptized, washing the guilt of our sins away, and be cleansed of the wrongs that stand between us and the Lord. Do you love Him? If you love Him, keep His commandments. Do what He says to you while we stand and sing.